Well, first of all, how did you get, I don't want to say obsessed, but how did you get engrossed in this painting? And what is the name of the painting?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. The name of the painting is Jane Elinor Sherman Lacy and Her Son Edward, and it's a work by Lily Martin Spencer. And actually, you know, probably obsessed is a good word, especially if you talk to some of my friends and family. And really, you know, it's a good question because I don't really know the answer. It really was a painting that kind of jumped out at me when I was working at the what now is the Taubman Museum of Art. I would walk through the American Gallery, and out of all of the paintings, for some reason, this one just grabbed my attention. And as I started looking at it more closely, there were a few pieces related to it that piqued my interest. And I guess that was really what started to pull me into it.
What pieces were you referring
Well,
to?
for one, their heads are slightly out of proportion with their bodies, especially the child. Now, that's typical for Lily Martin Spencer in a lot of her works. But that might have been one thing at first that caught my attention. But then as I started looking closely, the fact that she wasn't wearing the mother, you know, was not wearing a wedding ring. And in and of itself, that wasn't horribly significant, but it was enough to start, you know, making me think, okay, well, where is the husband? Why is this just the mother and child? Now, this is from the 19th century, the 1850s, and I will date the painting at 1857, so that gives you an idea of when in the period of history that it's related to. But the fact that she wasn't wearing the wedding band and the fact that there was this one lone rose that was on the table next to them that was slightly wilted. And that could be an indication in the 19th century as a symbol for death and mourning that someone in the painting was not alive when it was painted. So all of this started to make me want to know, okay, who is she? Who is the child? What's going on? And then probably most importantly was her brooch. That's what really captured my attention.
What about the brooch?
Well, if you look closely at the brooch, if you see the painting, and it's on display now at the Taubman, it has a black and white image. The artist would have used blacks and whites to paint the face of a baby. And it's clearly a young boy, and we know that because the hair is parted on the side. Had it been a girl, it would be parted down the middle during this period. And the eyes appear to be closed. And so there really are three sitters, in a sense, in this painting, and that also wanted me to, you know, ask the question, okay, well, who was this child? Is this a younger Edward, or was this another child that possibly that was the child that had died? You know, what's going on with this family?
We're talking with Scott Crawford, the author of Dating Jane, subtitled Domesticity, Death, and Photography in a 19th Century Portrait. So I'm sort of getting an image of in Vertigo, the Hitchcock movie, Kim Novak at the going to the gallery every day, sitting there staring at that at that portrait of the flamenco painter. Was it sort of like that? Or
Yeah, that's really good because it kind of was. As I started to then research the painting, really not a day went by that I didn't stand and look at it, and more details started to emerge, which was really exciting.
You know, you're an educator by background, you were on the education staff at the Taubman. Do a lot of paintings, maybe from a certain period, is everything just dripping with symbolism usually in these paintings?
Well, and that's really a debatable topic. I think that definitely the political, social, economic issues that are related to an artist at a particular time that revolve around the artist are impacting the artist. Now, is the artist always turning to symbolism? Not necessarily, but in the 19th century, there definitely was a strong leaning toward the use of symbolism, especially in these mourning portraits, as we've now labeled them, paintings of individuals that were deceased and used to memorialize the dead.
So you weren't quite. You spent a lot of time on this, hundreds of miles. You went back over 160 years in history. You sort
Yes.
of touched on culture at the time, gender roles, things like that. What did you find out?
Well, in essence, really, the internet makes this so easy. It just started with a general internet search, and I started to find the genealogical records related to the Lacey family. And I did find out that Jane had been married in the 1840s, and she gave birth to a little girl in the mid-1840s, and that little girl's not in the portrait. She lived a full life. She was married twice, had children, descendants, etc. Then Edward was born in 1846. And in 1852, I learned that he did die. And then in 1854, she gave birth to a little boy named Henry, and he died as a one-year-old. And then in 1857, in April of 1857, she gave birth to another little boy named David, and he grew up. He lived his full life, moved to California, but she died 8 days after giving birth to him.
Wow. So Edward's in the portrait. So Edward,
yes.
Was he actually dead when they did the portrait?
Yes. My argument is that based on clues and such and looking at Lily Martin Spencer's family records, her writings, the artist's writings, that the painting would have been done sometime after Jane died. So it would have been done after April of 1857. Probably by the end of 1857, it was completed. So Edward was deceased, Jane was deceased, and then the little boy in the brooch is Henry.
So Jane was also deceased.
That's correct.
Okay, so really this is sort of like a time capsule painting. Do you know why the artist decided to do this?
Well, the artist was known for her genre paintings, and if you Google her, that's what you're going to find. But she was the primary breadwinner for her family, which is a little odd in the 19th century.
That's Lily Martin Spencer, the artist?
That's correct, Lily Martin Spencer. And she, on the side, would do portraits. And what has not been really examined by art historians is her work in post-mortem portraiture. And that's why I feel this book somewhat important, because it starts a conversation about her work in that genre, in post-mortem portraiture, because throughout her career, her family letters clearly indicate she had done numerous post-mortem portraits. And this particular painting at the Taubman is one of only three definitive post-mortem portraits that have been found by the artist. So she was doing it for money. She needed to bring in some income.
Right. So families would commission her to paint these?
Exactly.
Okay.
They would commission. And what the other side of the story is, then how? You know, Edward was dead in 1852. The mother dies in 1857. How would she know what they look like? Well, it's photography. Photography was now having a role in death and dying. One of its earliest uses was to take photographic images of the dead to memorialize them. And what we find with Lily Martin Spencer is that families would send photographs of their deceased loved ones to her, and from the photographs, she would recreate their images in paint, and the brooch would have been sent to her, and the reason it's in black and white is because she was copying a photograph of Henry that was in the brooch.
And I guess if she painted him a little bit later in life, she would have kind of extrapolated and figured out what they looked like later on.
Yeah, and this would have been what they looked like in the photographs, so that she didn't age them. She didn't even have to age them. Yeah, she did not have to age them. She put them as they would have looked in the photographs. We also learned that they would have sent – family members would have sent locks of hair so she would know the hair color, because, again, remember, she's dealing with black and white photography. So they would send locks of hair. They would send clothing to place the deceased on the canvas and such.
People really just trying to hold on to their family as long as they could. Huh?
Exactly, exactly.
What do you we're talking to Scott Crawford, the author of Dating Jane. What do you, Scott, want people to come away with if they read this book?
Well, there's several things. First, that to really appreciate art, you need to develop a relationship with it. And that's the play on words in the title. It's Dating Jane. What that means is that I had to date the painting, find out the exact year that the painting was dated to prove my thesis. But then also in doing so, I established a true relationship with the painting. In a sense, I dated the painting with that relationship. So people, I want them to walk away that you can't just have a cursory walk through the galleries. You know, take time and really look at a painting and become involved with the painting. And you never know what wonderful surprises might come to light.
You know, it's interesting because the portrait of Nora at the Taubman.
Yes.
And by John Sargent Singer.
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know if you were there then, but they did a little play about John Sargent Singer.
That's right.
How he had been sort of booted out of France for his Madame X or something,
yes,
and then came back and rehabilitated himself with the Nora portrait. And it gave me a deeper appreciation of Nora. Just because of that little play.
Wonderful. Yes, and I was there. That was a project I worked on with Tanya Gray, who's a teacher in Roanoke City now.
But, good memory, huh?
Yeah, yes, that was. I'm impressed.
That's great. And talk about you, just one before we let you go, you have a Facebook page for this.
Yes, that's correct. Facebook page, which Dating Jane. And if they look for Dating Jane, they'll find it.
Okay, and if they want to get a copy of this book, Dating Jane, Domesticity, Death, and Photography, a 19th Century Portrait, where would they find it?
It's on sale locally in Roanoke at Too Many Books and also in Blacksburg at The Artful Lawyer. But you can also purchase it online through Politics and Prose, a bookstore out of Washington, D.C.
Okay. And before I let you go, I wanted to talk about one of the things. There's a painting at the National Gallery of Art. I guess, is that in D.C.?
Yes, that's correct.
Where your research brought about a name change for the painting, and talk about that.
Yeah, well, real quickly, that's a painting that's in their collection, their permanent collection, by Linton Park, and it's from circa 1893. And basically the painting did not come with a title. There was no clear title. So the National Gallery of Art in 1981 gave it the title The Burial. And through my research and looking at it closely, again, looking at these clues, it turns out that's not what's being depicted, but what's being depicted is actually an exhumation. They're not there to bury a soldier. They're there to exhume a soldier and take him to a national cemetery. And there's a host of clues in the portrait that would indicate this. And what's important there is that we first can get a more accurate title for the painting. It's now called, they changed the title to The Exhumation. But it also reminds us about another part of the Civil War we tend to forget about, that even a generation later, there's still struggling with the loss of life that the war brought, but also the National Cemetery Movement, which took off during the Civil War, and the need for Northern families to come down south to unbury their loved ones and get them buried in a proper cemetery. And that's the scene we see unfolding in that painting.
Interesting. So I guess the moral of the story, for one thing, is when you go to a gallery and you look at paintings, maybe spend a little bit more time and try to just develop more of an appreciation and a sense of what it's all about.
Exactly.
All right. Scott Crawford is the author of Dating Jane, Domesticity, Death, and Photography in a 19th Century Portrait. And Scott, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.